Grace and peace to you today from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm proclaiming the word today from St. Matthew's Gospel that we heard today. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I just asked you to sit, but now I ask, will the real Jesus please stand up? This phrase, which you may be familiar with, comes from an old TV show, at least what I googled and researched of its origins. It was a show called To Tell the Truth. I think it aired a little bit in Australia, but it was mostly a US TV show. Perhaps some of you remember it. Throughout the 50s, 60s, I think it resurfaced in the 80s and 90s as well. The TV show comprised of three people who pretended to be one certain person. And the panellists who were there, observing, listening to them, had to guess which one was the real one, which one was the real person. Of course, the phrase, will the real Jesus please stand up, was not used. At the exclusion of Jesus' name, there was a name implanted there, whoever they were pretending to be. At the end, the real person was asked to stand up so that he or she could be identified. Today, right now, we have many voices claiming to represent Jesus and his teaching, don't we? And this is nothing new to our generation. Nothing new to the world and the church. The devil always plays this hand with God's people, but he tends to modify it depending on the contemporary issues of the day. Along with the evil one, we also have, and the world and our own personal lives shape how we think of God and how we think of his word, who he is, what he says. Our hearts and minds, aside from the evil one, do this. Pastor Matthew Richard, an American Lutheran pastor and author, picks up this very topic in his book, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? He cuttingly says at one point, in the beginning, God created man in his own image, and man has been trying to repay the favour ever since. The attack of the evil one is always the same, you see, to get us to look everywhere but the Word of God, to know who he is and what his will is for mankind. He gets us to look to people's opinions of him, our emotions, how we would like God to be, what we would like God to say, and also to the world around us. We therefore shape and mould God to be the one who ticks all the boxes of being popular in the world's eyes, endearing in our own minds, and all accepting of the world and all ideologies. Even more devilish is the fact that Satan warps God's and our understanding of God's word, if we even bother to look at it at all sometimes as Christian people. He plays the same old trick that he did in the beginning. Did God really say? And more than often, sadly, we believe it. Because what God has said a lot of the time isn't popular in the world's eyes, doesn't sit right with us, and it's not who we'd like God to be sometimes. The prophet Jeremiah had that very scenario with the false prophet Hananiah speaking things that the world wanted to hear. Popular. What Jeremiah had to say, the true prophet, was unpopular. Pastor Richard in this book also says this: our minds work like a hammer and chisel, forming the real Jesus into a creature of our making, carving out that which is uncomfortable and adding and enhancing everything to please our desires. What a scary thought. My mind, your mind, this side of eternity are constantly at risk. Preacher, lay and ordained, constantly at risk to warp and form a God into what we want, and our own God into what we want, and maybe who the world wants. But this is not the God that we need, nor is it the real God. Obeying and serving two masters is impossible, according to Jesus. He says either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be the devoted one, devoted to one, and despise the other one. Similarly, we can either serve the God of our making or the God of the Scriptures. St. Paul, in his epistle reading today, categorizes people as either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. Thankfully, even though they might be hesitant and fearful, pastors included, the true prophets and apostles bring the God and Saviour we need, not who we want. They bring us the antidote, not another sickness. The one who brings such words from God need to fear him first. As Jesus says earlier in our chapter, which you may have heard in the lectionary the last few weeks, the ones who are sent and whom he sends are the ones who fear God, not man. They fear the one who can destroy the body and soul in hell, not the one that can merely just destroy the body or reputation. Out of love and mercy for us, God does not give his true prophets or apostles or pastors the freedom in their calling to edit or ignore parts of his word. They're called only to pass it on, and God's people are called to receive it, what they've heard from God himself. Like them, we're not free to develop our own Christ or our own message from Christ and his word. In fact, that freedom wasn't even given to Christ himself, the Son of the Father, eternally begotten. Christ says he only speaks the words of the Father. Only what he hears, he speaks. Hence, it shouldn't be shock horror to us that the pastor who stands in this pulpit or any pulpit only speaks, and the church, what they hear from Christ and his word and the apostles' teaching. Jesus tells his disciples today that those of God's people who welcome them, because they come from God, welcome him and his Father. This naturally means that no other teaching, no other minister or ministry is welcome. Only one sent from God. It's not welcome in the church. It's not welcome in our lives. Because God's word is good, is it not? Everything else that is contrary to it then means it's not good. Evil, in fact. This is important because God's word, is it not, while we gather as God's people, is life. And the only thing that brings life. Everything else is death, lies, and only comes to destroy God's people and his church. No matter how hard and piercing God's word can be in our current times, it is actually good. And we should testify to its goodness by welcoming and receiving those who preach it, who have the boldness to do so in our current times. This is often the lie that is sold by the evil one and the opponents of God's word. He has convinced the contemporaries of Jeremiah's day, the apostles' day, and maybe even our day, with a version of the same thing that he conjured up in the garden at the beginning. Thus, he still looks to convince us in our day to gauge true teaching by what is popular. And if it's unpopular, then perhaps it's not true, or couldn't possibly be, could it? Jesus calls his followers, as you know, to walk the wide, broad way. Not to walk that way, but to that ones that many people walk through, that they find popular. Instead, he calls us to walk the narrow way that leads to life and is actually unpopular. Not many people walk down it. In fact, only a few, Jesus says. The prophets were reluctant, Jeremiah included, to bring God's word and to be a prophet at all, to carry the word of the people to the people of God, because those prophets, including pastors, fear. We fear, and this is why Christ encourages his disciples to not fear. Not to fear man. Because the temptation is real, me included. And the future ministers of God's word, the same. Fearing man, you see, leads us to temptation to tamper with or ignore the word of God. Ignore the parts that might be unpopular and offensive even. The scary part of all this is not everyone who speaks in Jesus' name speaks for Jesus. That's a confronting reality. I, as a human, have the temptation to do that too. And so you should always confront me or any pastor who stands here with the word of God and measure him by that. So will the real Jesus please stand up? In our day, as they did and as he did throughout all time, the apostles stood up for the real Jesus because he stood up for them. The apostles' teaching is what we are to receive, not their opinion or even their interpretation, but to pass on the word and teaching of Christ. That was their role, as it is with us. The true apostles and messengers of God are the ones who speak not what is palatable, not what is popular, but what is true. They speak and represent the truth, Jesus Christ and his word, and not their own words. This is a scary thought as a preacher. The responsibility is huge. And I can't guarantee that everything I've ever said has been true. It's a scary reality for the office of the ministry. And it's important. Why? Because we must be on guard, because the real Jesus has many imposters. And the imposters want to take us from that real Jesus. And if that happens, then we miss out on him. All of his benefits, which he wills to bestow on us. You see, the real Jesus does not distribute his forgiveness, life, and salvation to mankind from within our hearts or from within our minds, because the evil one wants us to look inward in ourselves to find his gifts. But we don't find anything good there. The real Jesus himself comes himself, through his gifts, through the external means of grace we talk about in theology, outside of ourselves. In this, it is as if the Lord takes the hammer and chisel from our hands that we try and mold it, smashes down the image of him that we've created, and hands us his word instead. That word is him, and his word is life. Our assurance, our hope, our righteousness comes from outside of ourselves, not our minds, our hearts, or world's opinions. It comes from the real Jesus. And where is this real Jesus to be found? Not there, but in his word, and within his faithful ministers who bring the pure gospel word. Jesus distributes his gifts through his means of grace. Jesus comes to us in bread, wine, water, word, to bring us forgiveness, life, salvation. Why? Because this is what his word and the apostles' teaching testify to. We didn't make up these things as nice things to do. We do them because the word of God is there and tells us to. The real Jesus stands up, and this real Jesus came to bring sinners to repentance through law and sinners to faith through the gospel. The real Jesus gives you life, gives you himself, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness. The real Jesus is concrete, doesn't move with the winds and the waves. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And you see, in this, your pain, your suffering, your sin are not just looked past or belittled, they're dealt with and embraced on the cross. We're only to expose false Jesuses and Christ and false messengers so that we more boldly run to the true Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, what happens when we receive and welcome and support such ministry of the true prophets and apostles, who come in the name of the Lord, we really just receive Jesus. Not only him, but God the Father as well. And we can be comforted as such. We don't have to stress then about creating and editing and this witness that we have from the apostles, but simply just receive it. We receive the witness of the apostles' teaching by welcoming simply just what they say. Because that word is Christ. And for those who receive what the apostle taught, really that's just a fancy way of saying the New Testament, which is their witness. And if you receive the New Testament, you receive Christ, because he's the center of them, of all scripture. The way in which this is preserved amongst us is for us simply to just say amen to them. All that is taught, believed, and received. Jesus says today, one does not need to be a prophet or an apostle or a worker in God's vineyard to receive God, but simply just welcome the apostle's word, the prophet's word, the righteous person's word. Not because of simply what they say or do, but because who they're sent from and who they're quoting. This promise of these verses today ring true for those who receive this apostolic ministry now, here in our congregations, when we minister, when we receive the minister's word, we receive as if we preach that word ourselves, the blessings, as if we were the preacher. God's people together, lay ordained, upholding the true apostolic ministry and word, are promised God himself. That's the gift. This is how our congregations, God's people, come to life, only through the word, because they're receiving life, the life-giving word and sacraments in the way he commanded them. Opinions, programs, popularity votes is not going to bring life. Only God the Father and his word, they only have claim on giving life. So the real Jesus, you must know, stood up by coming to you, baptizing you, raise you from spiritual death. He did everything when you could not. He can do so and did so. Why? Because God sent him, the real Jesus, to stand in the place of false teachers and believers of false teachers, all of us from time to time who get led astray. So there's good news. Good news, brothers and sisters. God provided one who never spoke a lie, never believed a lie like you and I, only ever spoke and believed the word of God. He's the only human to ever do so. The real Jesus came to you when you were dead in sin, and so he calls us to repent of such things, to believe false Jesuses who only look to kill, steal, and destroy our faith. The real Jesus stands up every time his gospel is proclaimed in its purity and the sacraments are administered according to his command and word. That's why you're here, to receive the real Jesus. The apostles' teaching is preserved most clearly and faithfully in the Lutheran confessions, if we shall say so boldly ourselves, and hence why I became a Lutheran 10 plus years ago. May we hold fast to them and therefore preserve the truth of Christ. So may the true and real Jesus please stand up in our lives, our congregations, our world, because he reigns and is superior and has defeated the devil in all of his lives. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus now and always. Amen.